AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
With podcast, you get to keep up with the culture. With this Up There podcast, you get more.
Watching another episode of It's Up There podcast with your boy Looney Luciano. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast on the market right now. I want to say thank you for anybody tuned in today. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know what I'm doing is just a little bit different than what the rest of these guys are doing. Understanding that is where the problem lies for many men. So I seem to be unique in that just understanding what I understand. So thank you for people that's tuned in. For those of you that may have stumbled up on this some kind of how, I'm Looney Luciano. Will be soon taking the EY off my name as I evolve as a man. You know, that name was given to me. Not something that I chose because I thought it was a, you know, good rap name. And so at times I make decisions that seem to be a little unexplainable. And so it puts me in a situation to earn a name like that coming up in the rough streets of Cashville, Tennessee, right? So those of you that's listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can see the video version exclusively on YouTube at FOGFOTV. For those of you looking at the video version of the podcast, and you may want to support me audio wise, or you may want to get in tune over there, you go to It's Up There podcast anywhere you get your favorite podcast at. And we'll be there. We in the top 30% brick by brick. You know, definitely a situation worth having. Embracing the journey. You know, embracing the journey. And I think none beats this. You know, being able to dig in and get to going. Nothing tops this, you know. Had a few things on my bucket list in regards to what I would like to do with my life. Doing this at a high level and being paid is one of them. So I want to be clear with the direction of this. You know, this isn't something that's going to be here for the day, God forbid, unless something happens. But other than that, we're going to be here to get a game to the people. You know, so thank you for the people that's tuning in and rocking with us. Very eventful week in the culture, man. So much going on in the culture right now. Also need to make an announcement. I have Dead Ball Deluxe out on all streaming platforms right now. Going crazy, I think. Got like 45,000 listens in the first 10 hours, 12 hours, which is for independent. That's great numbers, you know. And so y'all please keep that up and stream Dead Ball Deluxe album, man. And find you something out there you like, TikTok, whatever the case may be. And let's make that go big too. Now we know on the podcast side, we definitely on our way to going big. Now we going big. It's only so long, you know what I mean? So y'all just stick around. I think I want to start with the Sweetie and Quavo. As you know, recently Sweetie went on Respectfully Justin, which is a show over on Revolt TV. Nice show. It's kind of like the Drink Champs format, but they're making it a little bit more polished. Shout out to Nori and DJ EFN and all them people on that side of the street as well. But it's a pretty cool so far show. Sweetie went on there, and it's a lot to unpack with this, you know. But I'm gonna give you the fast version, then we'll break things down as they just pop up in my head. But the fast version is Sweetie, you know, visited the show. And they spoke about everything surrounding sex. You know, you're free to talk about what you want to talk about, but who you talk about it with can result in things going in a way that you didn't that you didn't see. You know, you didn't intend. You didn't see things going this way. But regardless, it's just a lot to get into with that whole. And so Sweetie went on there with her ex, you know. Justin Combs is an ex of hers. That's already a sign of, you know, I would just say it's an odd situation to put somebody in that you call yourself dealing with. But she went on there, you know what I'm saying? Now, let me back up some, because niggas is always the last person to know that she done. You see what I'm saying? Respectfully, you know. Dudes is always late to the party in regards to when she's done. She's here physically, but mentally she's already clocked out. And that's a rough situation. You know what I'm saying? Because when you find out, it hits you like a ton of bricks. You damn, what? What? Whole time, she feeling like you're not respecting her because you're not relating to the what's not being said. You see what I'm saying? In a weird way, they want for you to kind of be able to read the room. And a lot of guys don't deal with read the room energy. Dudes deal with tell me what's going on energy. And let's see if I can address it. If I can't, respectfully, we'll go on our different ways. You see what I'm saying? But what happens oftentimes is people find themselves trying to give signals instead of say what's happening. They're giving little signals off. You should have caught that 6 months ago. I stopped doing. What this does is it puts me, it's damn near unfair, because it puts me in a space where what? We playing a guessing game. I got to have the kind of time to take away from me thinking about how to turn 1 million into 100 million, or how not to let 100 million turn into 1 million. You understand me? Just that by itself is one thing. Then I'm also making sure this is good in regards to us, you know, and then I'm got children, I got a mother, you know, I got people that I gotta look look at for family. I got a household. I got things. So I got to every so often be, you know, have to beam in on what it is that you consider signals. And now we ain't got nothing understood that, hey, when I do this, it's a signal. These are just things that you're doing spare of the moment that I'm supposed to just realize, right? But anyway, guys are usually the last person to know. And when I first saw it, I said, okay, because see, I'm a Cancer. Right? See, I'm a Cancer, which means our shell is to be overly aggressive with the fuck you. You know what I mean? Now, we can be forced in the... one thing about it is you can force a Cancer to stand on what they're saying. You can force us to do that, right? All you got to do is say the wrong thing or do something. Now, I got it all the way out here on the limb, but I really ain't, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to show, I'm like a big old bear that a rile or a dog that'll keep on growling and barking and barking and barking. Then you let him out and both dogs out and he don't even snatch him. He just was, you know, when it come to the emotional side, when you tap into an emotional side of a Cancer, it's a different place. So that's why people love it, because they know it's dope, but they don't understand the other side of, like, far as what's going on your mind, you know what I'm saying, or what you feeling like, you know, because you so fucked up that you can peep little signals like that. Cancer, see, Cancers can peep the signal, or they kind of look ahead, so they say, well, if you do this, you would do that, you see what I'm saying, or doing this, your next step is probably to do that. And why do I think that? Because them last steps that you made when you had this and that, you know, they putting all that together, right? So when you see somebody invite themselves to a platform like that, that isn't even, you know, it's a growing thing. It's on TV already. So in this space, I know what that means, right? I respect that for what it's worth. But it's a growing show. It ain't no, you see what I'm saying? So it's just almost like I couldn't reach out to old girl and get an interview. You know, you went there, your ex is there. So you go there and you go to talk, right? When you sit down and everything is about relationships, sex, this, that, and the third, it even could have been taken different if the ex dude wasn't there. But we got somebody here who done double tapped that. If somebody here that done double tapped that and they speaking about you in these ways, what signal is that? What is that telling me about what me and you got going on? You know, what does that leave what we supposed to be have built or what we looking at, right? And then they go into threesome things and this and that. And then, you know, she witty. She a Cancer. Motherfucker, we witty. We some witty people. So on the fly, she just thought about that and threw that back out there. You understand about the, I'm going to let him choose the guy we're going to have a threesome with. These kind of things. And she know this because she a Cancer. See, when I first saw it, I said, it's cap. All that shit is cap. When she talking about a certain amount of money and this and that. If somebody can get close to you as a Cancer, it don't matter, you know. You know what I'm saying? I can call cap on a lot of that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about at the root of it. Not all the other shit. You see what I'm saying? So, just being on the show gave a signal out. It said, man, I'm really done fucking with that. I'm on here with my ex. And we talking about sex and threesomes and taking exes back and cheating. And then he threw something out there about, man, I love Cancers. That's that. He knows she a Cancer and that's your ex. Like, and then they certain times with the editing, by me being on this side of the business, I see little things. I see how they selling it. It's certain little cuts that when she say something, it look at him. And when he say something, it look at her. You know, they might not even be saying nothing at the time, but it's just facial expressions that they that they giving out. You see what I'm saying? And things like that to lend itself to the narrative that it's some messy stuff going on. You understand what I'm saying? But so shortly after that, they call it off, and then Quavo tweeted to her. You know, I'm gonna tell you exactly what he tweeted. So Quavo tweeted to her, "I had love for you and was disappointed you did all that. You are not the woman I thought you were. I wish you nothing but the best." She hit back with, "Take care." Again, I'm telling you, you can make a cancer stand on what you can make a cancer stand on what they saying now. But you can also, if you got a piece of that heart, you can also reel them back in. But you got to think quick and you got to act quick, because what happened there is over. I got to stand on it now. I can't look like I was out there playing with it. You see what I'm saying? So that's unfortunate. But it just, I really don't know how to take it, dog. I ain't bullshit. I really don't know how to really take it, man, because but, you know, like I say, man, you know, by your ex being there and by you just being in a position to, like, feed into it, it is really ending the relationship. You really end the relationship doing that. But as a Cancer, I want to think that you were calling your, you know, herself, she was calling herself sending signals that, you know, dudes may not, you know what I mean, pick up on that. You got to tell us what it is. You got to tell us that, hey, I can't do it. Or, hey, man, like, what you did is bothering me more than I would like to admit. You understand what I'm saying? And see how we can work around it. But, you know, I lighted that little couple together. I thought they were pretty cool. You know, I don't, you know, I really can't say whether or not they supposed to, you know, moved on or what, but I like that little situation, you know, them together. It was pretty cool. You see what I'm saying? It was definitely pretty cool. Let's see. I want to talk about Deshaun Watson, because my homeboys was telling me about this, and, you know, I haven't been up on the football tip, just kind of not paying attention to what they got going on. So I think now it's up to 12 girls that done came out. So if you don't know, Deshaun Watson is a football player. I think he plays for the Texans. And he let them know, "I don't want to play there anymore, and I'm requesting a trade." Shortly after that, he got a whole bunch of sexual assault allegations coming out about him. Now, I do want to say, you know, rape and taking advantage of anyone is a position that must be looked at and not ignored on any level. So I don't want anything that I'm saying to come off as insensitive in regards to them. Not sure what, you know, how we could. Because I'll get into both sides, but just want to make sure that is out there as well, knowing how these things travel and how fast they go. You know, context is definitely important. You know, because that situation is just very interesting to me. You know, when I, like I said, men a lot of times is the last to know. You know, for me, you in the relationship by doing that. You just end our relationship, right? Now, who's to say that you wasn't some kind of way trying to communicate that the issues that we've encountered were greater than what I can endure? You know what I'm saying? You could have been trying to get that out and I didn't receive it. But when you go on a show with your ex, you end our relationship. That's effectively what you're doing, in my opinion. You go on a show with your ex, number one. Then number two, we go here and we talk about threesomes and sex and cancers and this and that. And he keep throwing shots and the camera's going in and that. Hey, man, you see what I'm saying? So, you know, relationships are slippery, you know. But I called Cap on a lot of this shit because I'm a Cancer. You know? And so with me being a Cancer, I understand what you do. You know, I understand how we do. You know, we, like I said, when it come with our emotions tied into it, you know, we may act like, man, I'm done fucking with this. Now, don't make me stand on that. Show me something, you know, because I stand on it at the end of the day now. You know what I'm saying? And so family is just it's a hell of a thing, man. And you never know if you're dating or you're ultimately going to be family one day. And then families also go through that, you know. Long-term relationships also end. And I always say I think it's better to catch it when it's young. Because, boy, you spend a lot of time with somebody and then break off. What I think happens is your brain is used to something. You know, your brain is used to the setup you got going on. And then it gets interrupted. It's like, oh, shit. You know, and then that's what makes you say, damn, I could have. I usually let her do this. Well, I ain't have to worry about that, man. He'll be doing, you know what I'm saying? Both sides will be feeling that, you know, in my opinion. And so that kind of makes you want to work things out sometime. But yeah, man, speaking of family, Kurt Franklin found himself in a situation. For those of you that don't know, you have to have been living under a rock by yourself with no internet. You understand me? Because Kurt Franklin was just put out to the public by his own son. The guy's 32 years old. He recorded him and put him out on the internet. And then Kurt Franklin apologized. You know, part of me says, all right, I understand how you know, you got to come out and apologize simply because you stand for so much righteousness. And I always think being that righteous, whether that be preacher, rapper, whoever, being good, too goody two shoes becomes radioactive. You know, I think it puts you in a situation where now anything you do, they looking to crucify you. Because for me, I heard a lot about the language that was used, and I heard very little about the action that was took. And that can go for both sides. But we're going to start on a dude records you. You know, your son. A guy who you've provided everything outside of essential, inside of essential to him. You've created a life that he could never had imagine being a part of had he understand or understood what it took to get where he, you know, currently lives. And I don't mean that as a residence. I mean as a lifestyle period. You know, I hear people say, like Ricky Smiley, shout out him. I hear him say you can't overcompensate. And that's 100% true. You can't overcompensate for what's not there. You know, you got to understand that certain things build character. I got to make sure you had the ability to be able to make good decisions. But what it seems like we dealing with in these kind of situations here is you dealing with a grown man who wants to. He just one of them disrespectful kind of people to his parents. You see what I'm saying? And so, what I think happens is, you know, because I wanted to blame it on him being young, and I still don't respect someone young doing that unless something is happening to you, right? If someone's mistreating you, you know, or, you know, any kind of putting their hands on you or doing this to you or something like that, record that by all means, get that out. But a shouting match with your father or somebody that's helped you navigate to places and endure things that you couldn't even imagine. And I would think at 32, you've been equipped with enough information at this point to be able to say, you know what? This dude here went hard for us. I don't think y'all know how hard dude went far as how busy he was to rake that little money in. Because I'm knowing with a recording contract, you're not, you know, you sold a lot of records, I think. But nonetheless, you're not making a whole lot of money, you know, because the contract is in favor of the person that's drawing it in most cases. So the person that provides the contract, usually it's favoring them, and that's why it's important to look over them. But I think we're dealing with a multitude of things, though, when you talk about Kirk Franklin's son. You know, I think that we got to consider when it all said and done, we got to consider the status of Kirk Franklin. We got to consider what it is that people... especially some of the, there's a certain age range of people that Kirk Franklin is, he is, you know, they almost look at him like the preacher. You know, I think he playing the preacher game. He putting the preacher game down, you know, and so you got to understand that being in that position and somebody watching you as your son, they see a whole lot of what they would consider love. But they don't understand. Kirk Franklin get a lot of fake love being in that situation. And a lot of people get a lot of fake love. So those that's on the outside looking at it may hate you for what they think you get. But you are already processing this as fake love. But, you know, being in a position where you can help people. Being in a position where people can come to you and get their problems off. And then especially when you're dealing with being involved with religion and you're a Christian and you believe in God like I do, you know, but I operate with a little more, you know, I'm just not, you know, I don't know. I'm going to leave that alone. But when you believe in God and you walk with that, right? When people think you got a direct connection to God because you've been talking about God, you done got on through God, and you spreading the message and spreading the gospel. So, you know, some people that's, if somebody's with you and they see people act a certain way towards you, that can come off as, man, you get a lot of love, man. You know what I'm saying? So, I think he don't really understand what it's like in this big world to find somebody that love you and care about you and take care of you and look out for you and prioritize for you and around you. Like, people don't do that. This world is big. Everybody confused as to who should they do it for. So everybody, you know, a lot of people are moving and not doing that, man. And even if you do find one or two people, I'm talking about, do you know you? Most people live, you know, 70, 80 years or whatever. And you may have five real friends within that time frame. Like, you see what I'm saying? You will know a lot of people. But when you've been privileged and you grow up in a space where people screaming for you and you selling out arenas and we live in the, you don't know what it's like to barely be getting through like other people your color. You know, and you have a false sense of reality. You know, just like when I hear guys talk real tough and they ain't never really. I'm like, yo, boy, I don't know who been letting you talk like that. But you have a false sense of how things gonna play out. You know, in your mind, this is the direction things are going in. But you don't know what you're up against because you can't know. Because you're doing too much of that to know who you up against. You see what I'm saying? So it's just understanding things, man. But I think he don't really understand in this big world, man. You don't get love. You don't get people that show you love and willing to do these things that your father or someone that's in your family, especially immediate family that you live with, that's close to you, that's looking out for you. Man, we live in a world where kids don't know their fathers. And so you hear Kirk Franklin cussing him out on there. And what y'all gonna, so help me understand. Give me a multiple choice of the things that's gonna happen if I don't apologize for this. because I'm talking to my son. And what I'm telling him is he's doing some things that, you know, and nobody addressed what the son was saying in the thing. You understand me? And Kirk Franklin is knowing, man, this is what I put on the line about this. Man, you know everything I've done and we've been through to keep the family together and this and that about, and this is what we're dealing with. We got people that don't know what it's like to say, Daddy, can I get some money on a car? Can you get me a car? Daddy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I need that. You got so many people don't even know what that feel like. And we gonna deal with somebody like, I just think it's a lot of privilege involved, but it's also a situation where seeing your daddy go through numerous cities and people, and probably every time somebody see him, Kirk, can I have an autograph? Can I take a picture? Can I? He think that's love. He think, you know, he don't understand. He think love is readily available because of things like that, and that's fake love. And I'm thinking Kirk Franklin know that. He been in that position a while. He know what's real. Like, people not. You see what I'm saying? A lot of dudes use their gram and take these pictures with guys to up their status, to make other people think I'm around this person, so this what's going on. I don't even take pictures with dudes. I can be around anybody. I ain't taking no picture. Anything, we might throw something up on a story or something right quick. But I ain't finna flick up. But I'm seeing even rappers doing it. Everywhere they going is people. They doing step and repeat, so I guess it's part of it. But I just ain't got there to be able to pull my phone out and with another nigga, he don't even much know I'm doing it. Then I'm just, bruh, like, that. It just don't feel right. You understand me? But I guess I'm alone in that, because it's a whole lot of that going on. You know, it's a whole lot of men holding their phone up around other men and getting little selfie kind of shots with other men. And so, you know, it's cool to be a fan, I guess, man. You know what I'm saying? It's cool to be a fan. Ain't even no business involved. You just in the section with the guy. You understand me? But, you know, and 9 times out of 10, the club done made 10 grand to get you back here. You see what I'm saying? They done some kind of way finesse you out of 10 grand, a table, some bottles, something. They done got a 10 out of you. Don't let it be a strip club, too. They probably done got to fit in out of you right quick. But this is this, and all that to just get next to some guy who in there getting paid. It's just it's some game being put down, though. But I respect the game. But I think Kirk Franklin, you know, his son just is in a bad place, man. And I don't think he should have done that. I don't approve of recording phone calls and putting them out, especially on your family. You know, and that's just all across the board for me. There's a situation going on with Deshaun Watson playing for the Houston Texans. So, evidently, he let them know that, man, I don't want to play with y'all no more. Shortly after that, he started getting buku rape allegations. So, I'm going to read ESPN's press release about it. It says, Houston lawyer Tony said during a news conference Friday that he will be filing an additional 5 lawsuits against Deshaun Watson in due course, bringing the number of total cases to 12 alleged inappropriate conduct and sexual assaults by Texans quarterback. He also said he has spoken to more than 10 additional women who have come forward with reports about similar conduct from Watson after encounter. See, this is the new game. Round them all up and just get them to say the same thing. I ain't talking about these young women, because he admittedly, after I get down through there, is saying some things that puts him in a really slippery spot. But what I'm saying is, they did it with Kelly. They did it with, like, and I don't mean to say they did it, because that comes off as something is not going on that needs to be looked into. So I don't mean that. But in the case where I'm one of those people that look at both sides. So I always plan for the worst and I hope for the best. So my first thing is saying, okay, Loon, how to navigate around that? figure out how you don't ever even be in a situation where it may come up that some things are inappropriate from your side of the street when it's 50 million, 100 million involved. You know what I mean? Any millions involved, any money involved, and more importantly, just keep yourself out of them situations for your sake. You know what I'm saying? Because it's never that serious about nobody. You know what I mean? So, but just saying though, I think the new game is get a bunch. They did it with Cosby. They did it with Chris D'Elia in the comedy space. They did it with Tip. They doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what do we, you know, what done happened here? But this is a little bit different, and we'll get into more. Let me see. So he said allegedly inappropriate conduct by Watson has happened as recent as this month, which was after the first time he said he spoke to Watson's lawyer, Scott Gatesfield. Watson has since hired Houston attorney Rusty Harden. He said during news conference that his office has been in contact with police and that he will provide information to them about the women who intend to sue Watson. So it is that says there's no criminal charges being put up just yet. The Houston Police Department said in a statement posted to Twitter later Friday that it was unaware of any conduct it had with Bunsby regarding the allegations or the filings of any incident or reports. Bunsby later wrote on social media that the contact he referred earlier was a detective he knows who reached out to him. Bunsby also said he was not aware of any police reports filed before the civil suit. That's going to be our next step, Bunsby said. Nothing he will do so when his clients are ready, but offering a timeline on when that would be. I don't know what they're saying. We actually had contact with Watson's agent lawyer from who minimized the allegations and who did not take them seriously. We wanted to resolve the matter without a lawsuit, without any publicity. We knew that once we filed a lawsuit, Texas, of course, has an open court provision in the Constitution, so all lawsuits are public. We wanted to avoid that. I don't know why you wanted to avoid that. I mean, I don't know why you wanted to avoid that, because why would you want to avoid taking me to jail if I'm one of the dirtiest people on this side of breathing? I'm taking advantage. You see what I'm saying? Your job is to, you know, I don't know. See, that gets a little funny. And I think Watson said he had not seen this first lawsuit. I have never treated any woman with anything other than the utmost respect, Watson said in his statement. In Friday news conference, Bunsby said one of the women said Watson was referred to her by a Texan athletic trainer, while another woman said Watson was referred to her by Quincy Avery, Watson's personal quarterback coach and athletic trainer. So they trying to tie the NFL people into it. It's a long thing. People were saying, though, and let me just check this, man. So this is a alleged text message. This is a alleged text from Deshaun Watson, a lawyer, posted. And Deshaun Watson allegedly said, sorry about you feeling uncomfortable. Never were the intentions. Let me know if you want to work in the future. My apologies. Now, that's what's going to get him. If that can be verified that he was the one that sent that. See, once you apologize for something, in those eyes with that money in the picture, the lawyers try to handle the rest. Now, if that was me, you got to code that up, man. I'm talking about even if ain't nothing happened, right? Let's just say ain't nothing happened. You know, you got to send out, man, you know, you got to hit with something like, last night the chips didn't fall the way we wanted them to. Or you got to hit with some, just anything other than uncomfortable. You don't use uncomfortable. You don't use uncomfortable, man. It's too much money involved. I ain't even talking about, let's say you did nothing. Let's say you just stepped on a shoe or whatever. But you don't use those type of words when you know what I'm saying, when somebody can take it. You know what I'm saying? You just don't. You got to have more gain than that. You got to use, hey man, things didn't go as planned last night, you know, and then we could be talking about a football game or the food at the restaurant, you know what I'm saying? But uncomfortable is a very, you casting a very small net, you understand me? You only grab a certain amount of scenarios under uncomfortable, you know what I mean? Chips didn't fall where they lay, y'all. There's lots of things we could be talking about. Things didn't go as planned, man. It's a bunch of things we can be talking about. You know what I mean? But far as uncomfortable, it ain't that much we can be talking about. It just ain't. It ain't that much we can be talking about. So you just got to pay attention. You know, and so you got to code it up. You got to be smarter than that, man. You know, and that's me saying that if nothing took place. Now, if that is true, then that means something took place that she was put in a situation that she let be known that she wasn't comfortable with. And for whatever reason, that situation didn't at that moment stop happening. It's anytime somebody say they're uncomfortable, you got to stop whatever it is you're doing. And that's the game I got to give my kid. Anytime you dealing with a woman and she stop or she start say anything about being uncomfortable, you fall back. Ain't none of that. She really wanted it, bro. I hear some dudes with that. You know, she be saying no, but she be looking. Man, listen, man, don't play with yourself. You got to be a little swifter than that. You know what I'm saying? And if you saying no with some kind of intentions on wanting to be chased, you just you were born at the wrong time. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I was telling my homeboys, you know, they were asking me about podcasting and, you know, what do you got to do and how do you get in it? And I was telling them, man, that it's a new game. But I'll talk about that in a minute. I want to talk about Casanova, right? Casanova, a couple things. Last week, Casanova posted, say, for all of you fake dudes that claim you my homeboys, but ain't sent me none, ain't checked on me none, you know, stay on that side of the street. Just kind of saying that dudes ain't showing him the love that he would like to be shown in the kind of situation that he in. I heard some bloggers say, well, he's become hot. The police is on him. They don't want to be pulled in it. I'm not sure, you know, about that. Nonetheless, he's saying that that's happening, and then on top of that, right after that happens, he goes up for bail, and then the officers get to use a Nick Cannon interview where he said, I'm ape still. I'm just over here and they over there, right? Like he's separating himself or something, what the feds try to say. Now, that was an hour-long conversation arguing back and forth about trying to let him out, you know? The feds were saying, well, we can't let him out. He's a danger to the community. And he's, you know, somebody that's top of the food chain in the blood thing and this, that, and the third. And he had guns and firearms and he sold narcotics, weed, and this and that. This is what they saying. And his lawyer saying, well, Your Honor, they have no proof. He's never held a gun. You know, what he does is entertainment. He's put himself in a situation to respect the courts and come with a $2 million bond. And plus, you know, asking can he be on house arrest to just be there with his wife and his child. You know, and so we coming with a very respectful situation. And then the lawyer fighting back on it, you know. And so they used the Nick Cannon interview. And this was posted by DJ Vlad. And it's news, you know, it's news. It is news. So, you know, I don't know what to say. And everybody's adopted the DJ Vlad thing too. the when something happens to somebody, repost your old content. Everybody's adopted that, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, Casanova in that situation, and they won't let him out. Judge ultimately denies his bail, and says that he's a danger to the community. Now, you gotta watch what you say when you're dealing with these interviews, especially when your fingerprints is still on the hood of the car. You see what I'm saying? You gotta watch what you say, because what happens is, again, I always told y'all, had the feds be watching, or had the feds been watching somebody and they on their phone and they just done got mad at somebody, and they call one of their homeboys who may be getting money with them, and they just say something like, "Man, yeah, that nigga owed me some money, man. I'm finna get that hit, man. He keep playing with me." But you could be joking. But, you know, just dealing with Casanova and being in that situation, one thing, I was talking to my homeboy, man, and it struck me, you know. And I said, well, what the lawyer should have said, or we need to start making reference to the movies. Y'all don't go get the producers of Terminator if Arnold Schwarzenegger do something, or if somebody does something that create movies, y'all don't treat them the same. Like, this is just entertainment. How are we even arguing that at this point? How can you prove this is not entertainment based on just what you're saying? You see what I'm saying? We got people that played in some of the most violent movies in history. They catch a charge, don't nobody say, and he also played. They don't do that. It's just rappers. And so you got to watch what you say. It's important not to say something that they can lay their own paint for you. You know, there's a way to do it. You know what I'm saying? There's a way to do it. But it's just funny because even if you use cold words, they try to take it in there and decode it in front of people, like, you know, this means that. And it's like, I tell you what, nigga, start doing, creating 3-4 definitions for one word and putting it out there, and having half the world saying 4 definitions for one word. And because of something, man, because how y'all gonna translate something for me and be able to say this what I was doing? I see it as entertainment, but they don't go for that. And something else that struck me as odd is, man, he in the beginning of this, you understand me, innocent or not, because, you know, he says he's innocent, and I'm with him on that. Nonetheless, you at the beginning of it. And so I think that's what's making him speak out, because he knowing, ooh, they ain't going to ride long. This thing just started. I'm just fighting. I ain't even had a bond yet, and they already giving up. That's why I want the young guys to know about prison. Everybody give up on you. You tough out here, huh? You busting heads, huh? When you get behind them walls, a lot of people gonna give up on you. You got real ones that's gonna stay down. But I'm gonna guarantee you, if it look like you ain't never coming out again, you can forget about it. Because they don't see opportunity attached to you no more. Unless they had to come behind them walls. See, a lot of people paying so when they go behind them walls, it's cool. They know at some point I got to go behind them walls. I'm going hard around here. So they paying their way for they even touch down up there. You understand? But a lot of people is just doing that. You know what I mean? A lot of people gonna give up on you. When they say, well, he got 15 years, they start falling quick. They're going to ask. A lot of them, see, it's a percentage thing the further you get. the more fall off. At first, everybody, you're free to home team, man. You know what's going on. Much love to you. Such and such and such. You move a little bit more up. And you done already lost some of them that was when it first happened, hollering this and that. You done already lost them 8 months in. You struggling to get a bond. They already gone. But them the same people that when you come home after 7 years, that's hollering, Bobby Shmurda, Roddy Rebel, the realest ones in the game. Yeah, yeah, real ones. Come hold this hat. Come take this picture. Come get beside this liquor. Hey, free tickets here. Come up on the stage with me. Real one. It's cap, man. It's cap. You know what I'm saying? So these folk, that's why you can't let them crash you out. You got to go get you some paper. You can't let them crash you out. Everything I'm ever do going to be justifiable. I ain't running from the police or nothing. I'm going to holler at the judge when I do something to one of you little boys. I'm going to holler at the judge. Man, listen, this is what the situation was. You know what it costs to get out of this. A bond, a lawyer, it is what it is. I had to protect my life, though. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to holler at the judge about that. You know what I'm saying? And we don't tell on ourselves or tell on no man ever. But I'm going to, you know, I ain't running from it. Because I know it's you pushed up about something. Something look wrong that I'm willing to say, man, ain't no man, I didn't go there to do that. Somebody was in the wrong. I had to bake them a cake, and that's how it's gonna go. But you know, because man, when you get down and you get down bad like that, don't nobody, they don't keep it real no more. If they ain't having no whole bunch of followers, they may post you, but don't let them have no clout. Boy, you ain't getting posted once the boy catch that clout on you. Boy, it's over with. These boys is moving different, man. You see what I'm saying? It's a serious game. So, you know, I think he know, man, I'm early in this situation. It's already happening. Like, I'm tripping. This deep right here. Like I was saying earlier, man, I had talked to my homeboy about, you know, just giving them some game about this industry, right? About podcasts and just about what sent me down my journey. And I think I need to kind of share it with y'all and see where the conversation goes. But when a couple years ago, maybe about 6, 7, 8 years ago, it struck me and I was looking and understanding that there was a lot of money being made, you know, didn't really understand how, you know, when I look at things selling for $3 billion and $1 billion, $2 billion, I say, man, and then YouTube is worth so much. And I mean in this tech space, the social media, clicky market, this whole space. And what it taught me was, now I tell you what company I looked at, Facebook. You know, they were talking about bringing them to Capitol Hill and punishing them and this and that, and it worth this many billions of dollars and that is powerful. I said, damn, let me see what's going on with this, man. Something tell me, man, that there's some game being put down that I ain't picked up. So I look and I say, well, how is Facebook worth so much? They don't charge me nothing. YouTube, they don't charge me nothing. Twitter, they don't charge me nothing. TikTok, they don't charge me nothing. How's they so wealthy? And I told myself, you pay with your eyeballs. See, people don't understand. You pay with your eyeballs now. It don't matter about if you're here because you hate me, if you're here because you love me, if you're here because the drama sent you here, if you're here because you just think I'm capped. Wherever you here, you pay with your eyeballs. But there's a step two to that. I have to know what to do with the data that I collect by all the people that come to see me for whatever reason that they come to see me for. And then I got to know how to tap into this crowd. that crowd, this crowd, that crowd, to keep capitalizing and converting them. But now if I get that down pat, this becomes a situation that is worth billions of dollars. You got Facebook that created a situation where everybody wanted to be a part of it for free. Because I don't charge you as being the person that's using the app. I charge the person that want to get in front of the people that's using the app. Because you pay with your eyeball. If you go on YouTube and you click somebody's stuff, it don't matter why you're there. You pay with your eyeball. So the new game is you pay with your eyeballs. It's just a situation that you must understand. You got Facebook worth billions, Instagram worth billions, YouTube billions. You don't pay for none of these things. Now, even dealing with Netflix, they can raise their numbers based on how many people that's watching. They don't share the numbers with nobody. They pay you, and it's part of that that you don't. We don't share the numbers. However it did, that's on us. Good or bad, we eat the good with the bad. You understand me? And so that's a hell of a thing, because I'm sure they've lost money several times. And, you know, I understand how business works. So it looks like they're losing, because that's how it needs to look when it's a lot of money involved. We got to look like you constantly losing to be able to keep the money. But that's a whole nother conversation, just like with Netflix, though. So if they can say that, hey, we got 9 billion monthly users or listeners, I'm sorry, or customers, 9 million, I'm sorry, yeah, 9 million monthly customers, they can, you know, dictate their stocks or whatever by that number. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just good game of understanding, and I wanted to put y'all in front of that game. You'll never hear nobody else say that. And if they did, they got it from me. And it ain't nothing that you got to think twice about. Nobody going to say things you hear me say and not saying that arrogant, saying that because that's just the situation. The situation I'm in is I've put in a lot of time understanding the things that I understand. And so the time I put in you can't duplicate that. You know, it can look like, it can walk like, but it ain't probably going to be able to talk like. You see what I'm saying? And that's just how that go. So, the DJ Drama and Drake thing, right? Let me see if I can find that. I need to. So, DJ Drama was on Nori, and he talked about how he told Meek that Drake had a ghostwriter. Now, I'm imagining at this point he probably understands that Meek already told Drake. So he probably asked him, man, who told, how that shit even get out like that? You know what I'm saying? He probably told him, man, Drama told me, man, this had happened. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of, that's how in this industry, man, it get like that sometimes. And they're saying it was over a woman. She said a lot of times there's a woman involved with actions with two men bump heads. You know what I'm saying? And then you got Drama or Drake, they saying on the new stuff, throwing shots at Drama. Had Drama last year, such and such, you know. And so they saying that them is shots. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? I think he's witty enough to do something like that in regards to the bars. And also right now he's 1, 2, and 3 on Billboard. One thing about it, even his ops give him the crown though. That's how hard you gotta be going. You gotta go hard the way your ops even say, man, nah, but his music though, you can't even get around him, man. He great with the music thing. You know what I mean? And so Drake is put in that fortunate situation, man. And so that's how it is. And so I also want to talk about the Roddy Ricch and just the whole Grammy situation. You know, the Grammys has became in this culture something that half of the culture says let's get away from, and then half of the culture says, I want to get one of mine's, right? Usually the people that's on the half that says fuck the Grammys are the people that already have them. Now, Roddy Ricch came out and people are saying that he was taking shots at Kanye West in this statement and spoke about how, hey, man, how can you piss on something that, you know, another young black man is trying to get? You know, I'm trying to get myself one of these and put myself in a situation to, you know, up my. So just for those of you that don't know, the Grammys come with a bump in your price. They come with a certain look. Right. So after you get a Grammy, now you're invited to do this and then you're able to bump your number up and you get just different opportunities based on being an artist or a musician with a Grammy. Right. It just strikes me as odd as no one's boycotting it prior to them getting it or no one's forfeited their Grammys or gave them back. But they're saying let's boycott this now. Maybe I don't have all the information and I need to get closer to it to see exactly what's going on. But it just strikes me as odd, you know. So when I see somebody like Roddy Ricch come out and say, hey, man, you, it's disrespectful to me, man. Like I'm hustling for this, like I'm going hard for this. And then that's what you do. You piss on it. Drake eats cereal out of it. People do those things out of it. Drake may be the only one that's still actively at the top of his game that's somewhat, you know, looked him off. You know, you ever seen him in basketball? You know, they looking to throw you the ball. You take the shot. You know, sometimes it seems like Drake kind of looks them off. But, you know, the only thing that I thought, you know, I thought when I took a look at this and said, okay, so now what's my feeling on it? You know, because we all do want to stay on the same accord, but we're clearly split in this area. I also hear people say, hey, let's build up our own. Let's do our own. Man, our culture has a problem with doing anything without contracts and money associated with it. We don't understand the value in building. We don't understand that you're not going to just, soon as you step out on the porch, understand what the weather will be for the rest of the month. You know, it's a day-by-day thing. It's a thing where you got to, you know, you got to push, but you got to understand, I always like to tell people this. Our culture has an issue, right? But we're the best culture in the world as far as hip-hop. Just black culture. We just got to get structure involved in it. But when we talk about building something, number one, we already have a lot of stuff out there that we don't support. We got a lot of dope stuff that we don't support because there's no opportunity attached to it. In our culture, we tend to only support things that directly has an impact on our finances. You know what I'm saying? We got some people like the Gucci Manes. We got some people like the QCs. We got some people that do things understanding that I'm building something. You always begin with the end in mind. You understand what I'm saying? So you understand that it's a journey. But when we get to the end of this, it'll be well worth the journey. And sometimes just in our culture, we don't adopt that notion. You know what I'm saying? And so and to see Kanye West and them do something like that, it struck Roddy Ricch as, man, this ain't cool. And also seen DaBaby say, I'm going to the Grammys till I retire. So, again, it's a split thing. And I don't think anybody should get mad, you know, on either side. You can't get mad at Kanye for how he feel about it, being what he is in his career. And you can't get mad at one of the young artists for getting mad about it, where they are in their career. One thing I know about you rappers, or one thing I know about you, some of the people that's leading the culture, you dudes will change your mind. So it's rough to jump on something with you, and then you change your mind on it. Now, changing your mind is something that I welcome with new information. But when we talk about something like boycotting, or we talk about something like a Grammy, right? You see, I talked about it a while back, that people want Grammys because they see their favorite artist had a Grammy. outside of the financial boost that I just explained. But if I see Michael Jackson had a Grammy and then now I get one. So you got to understand, my fight ain't for me. My fight is for my mama, my children, my family. You know, when I bring a Grammy home to mama and them, mama and them think, I mean, I remember Michael Jackson got the Grammy. Or I remember when, you know, some of their favorite people. So it puts me in a place in their minds. You know, and this journey ain't all about one person. You know, the rapper that you see. A lot of times the rapper that you see or the artist or the musician, they're doing things to try to appease their family, their friends, their producers, their label, their, you know what I'm saying? They've been influenced about how they look at their next decision. But one thing I know about a rapper or activist or a lot of you dudes just in the culture, you'll change your mind. I was taking a look at the DJ Drummer interview with Nori. And I said, man, how wild is it that Drake and Meek Mill took it that far and now they cool? So had I been on either side and been ready to kill about that, then now you left with that stain on your jacket when them two guys, they decided to move right along. You know, they decided to move right along. They you know, and I just think if I was down with Drake or I was down with me, and I said, boy, when I see that nigga, say Drake, when I see that bitch Meek, boy, I'm going head over heels about that, man. I'm talking about, man, I'm gonna bake him a cake. Soon I run into him. Ain't no talking about that. He violated this here, man. And you know I stand on that. Right? I stamped that. And then just say me and Meek get into it on behalf of him saying some things about Drake. And I run into him and crash him out. And then 6 years later, they back cool. You understand what I'm saying? That's why sometimes I kind of feel when Ross said that about Baby them, man. Or may have been P. Like, man, I stay out of there because that's them. No, it was 50. It was 50. 50 Cent. About Baby and Lil Wayne. He said, hey, man, I stay out of their situation because at the end of the day, they're going to forgive each other. And they won't forgive me for what I done. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes when it gets that deep, you got to just, you know what I'm saying? Unless Drake say, hey, man, or Meek say, hey, man, we'll never be cool again. Some blood got shit. Let's turn it up. Then it is what it is. But rap dudes or dudes, period, change their mind. And so if I say I'm going to boycott the Grammys, and then in 25 years when you on your deathbed or you headed out, you know, ready to clock out and no longer be living, and you say, well, I made a mistake with the Grammys, you know, I shouldn't have blackballed them, and I'm going to frame my Grammys, and da-da-da-da-da, you done changed the narrative. Now, I never got a Grammy because I was standing with you in solidarity and saying, man, I'm not messing with them, man. You see what I'm saying? Then I see people say Meg Thee Stallion got a lot of Grammys and she shouldn't have got a lot of Grammys. Now you got to understand this too. We're talking about Savage Meg Thee Stallion with Beyonce, that record. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I actually, you know, that's one thing I don't know how to feel about. You know what I'm saying? The only thing I can say when I compare it is Does Meg Thee Stallion deserve 3 Grammys and Nicki Minaj doesn't have 1? What is the disconnect there? Now, we can argue that Meg Thee Stallion deserves 3 Grammys, but we also can argue that Nicki deserves 3, 4, 5 Grammys. Not this year, but what stopped Nicki from getting Grammys but didn't stop Meg from getting Grammys? You see what I'm saying? There's just something there that I don't have the information on that I must look into, simply because it's my job as a media guy. It's my job as a guy that's in the forefront of the culture. You know, so I'm going to look into it a little more to see what it is I can come up with. you know, because I can't lie to you. I don't know. Nicki has some big records. We can't say, well, you know, Meg got the song with Beyonce now. Because the first thing I'm going to say is, Nicki had the song with Beyonce. Really, Nicki laid the blueprint of how to even cross over to that Beyonce lane as a female artist. It really ain't too many people that can do a record with Beyonce. Even rap guys. What you gonna get on the rap? What is you as a rap guy gonna get on the song Beyonce talking about that's gonna be appealing? You understand what I'm saying? Either she gonna have to come down to your level as far as trappity trap trap. Now Drake, of course, he's on a different level. I'm not talking about him. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? When we dealing with these kind of things, you got to wrap your mind around the logistics of it. You know what I'm saying? And so Nicki had the song with Beyonce. Meg had the song with Beyonce. Nicki, damn near, I think, sold what? I know millions of records on her whole body of work. She even had one with Kanye. I think Rihanna might have been on one. Like, she's dipped her toe in a lot of pools. And she just, for whatever reason, they won't give her one. Now, I do remember she called out, I think it was Taylor Swift, about the Grammys and put her in a weird place, you know. And I heard Joe Budden him speak about, say, man, well, if you die, you know, the very next year, they give you all the Grammys, all this, all that. What you must understand in this game, and this is for the youngsters, this is for the entrepreneurs, the creatives, the people that's in this game that don't understand this game. But they understand that they want to understand this game. What you must understand is they try to spank you when they know you can still play ball. But once you out the game, they give you everything that you should have got when you was playing ball. But it's a way to passive aggressive shit. You understand what they try to say, man? I'm going to punish you for not playing ball with us. But then something happened to you. Well, there's no need to punish you anymore because you're actually not alive to be able to do some of the things that they would want you to do. So now they use your likeness without you being there. They don't have to get a green light to use your likeness and still kind of garner some of that attention and give you these awards and all of these things, man. But I just don't understand how Nicki doesn't have one. Excuse me. I don't understand how Nicki doesn't have one, but you got Meg with three. And Cardi was there, and Candace Owens tried to call Cardi B out about how they was dancing up there, you know, because they were doing, it was a stripper pole there, and they was doing some of the, what I like to call African dance moves, you know. And so at this point, I'm going to say Candace Owens is just picking on Cardi B. Everything Cardi B, it's almost like she's looking at it like low-hanging fruit. Like, you know, I can out-talk you. So everything you say, I'm going to say something to you. And you're a big fish, but I can out-talk you. So everything you say, I'm going to say something back to you. I'm going to pick at you. I'm going to say you this. I'm going to say you that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to say, and it's unattractive, man. You know, it's a bad place for us to be in, man. Like, let's not do that to each other. You know, let's not put ourselves in a situation that, you know what I'm saying, we got two black women fighting over things that neither one of them should be fighting over. You know what Cardi B is, let Cardi B be that. Candace Owens, you be what you are in your line of things. You know, and I got questions for Candace Owens, the same way she got questions for Cardi B. You know, there's a lot of things that's been said and done that people don't know about that I know about. Because all I do is study the game. All I do is study people who's been in a position to make money off doing what I'm doing right now, which is talking. So I know all the things. I know it all. You understand what I'm saying? And so there you ain't. I mean, we'll get to it one day. I also understand timing. A lot of guys right now are already running off with what I'm saying and going and stealing my content. But trust me, you won't get away with it. I understand what I'm doing. I'm in the top 30% without dropping down one of my top interviews yet. I understand what I'm doing. But to see Cardi B and Candace Owens, or to see Candace Owens, everything Cardi B does, you take a shot at her, I just think that's not cool. You know, I just think that's not cool. And being in a situation to understand that. Now, Cassidy and Hitman Holla, let's talk about that for a minute, because it's a lot there that I need to give the young boy some game about. You know, I'm becoming turned off with a bunch of this tough gang talk. You know, and not that any disrespect to gang members, the real members, I understand that. But the members I know don't be hollering nothing. When it's time to get active, we just gonna go and get active. You know, I don't think necessarily we need to let you know what hood you messing with here. It ain't necessary. You know what I'm saying? Wherever you violate is wherever we demonstrate. So it ain't really necessary to, man, you fucking with such and such and such and such and from sister such and such and such. It ain't necessary. Now, Hitman Holla and Cassidy has a battle on RBE. Shout out ARP coming. Cassidy said some things to Hitman Holla and stood up in an intense face-off. And I think Cassidy said something about him not being tough and he had got robbed and, you know, you should have been tough when they took your chain or whatever the case may be. And Hitman let him know, I hurt you. You know, I beat the dog shit out of you, you know. And Cassidy said, I got some dudes with me, man, man, you tripping. Now, Hitman Holla went and grabbed the bag and put the bag next to him and said, threaten me again. See, this is one thing about the drawing a line in the sand. Once you draw the line in the sand, if a person continues to do what you've told them not to do, you gotta go platinum. You gotta go platinum because I done drew the line in the sand. Now, if I just keep telling you, man, chill out, man. Hey, yo, chill out. Now, once I tell you, man, say that one more time, man, and it's up about that. And you say it again and don't nothing happen, it looks crazy. You see what I'm saying? But I can feel hit, man, because, you know, you don't talk to me like that, little dude. You know, I don't care who with you. And if I had a firearm on me, because what I think Hitman was trying to say was that he had a firearm in his bag. You know, I heard some people say he had his brother in the bag. He had, I think his brother named Show Off. They said he had Show Off in the bag. He was going to unzip that motherfucker and his brother was going to pop out and knock him out. And you know his brother be fighting. So I took that as funny. That was really funny. That was a good one. The internet is undefeated. You know what I'm saying? But he kind of jumped up with the, threaten me again, I'm going to make it home, I got it on me. You know, he had his black bag, but I don't know, man, like, you know what I'm saying, I ain't going to tell you it's on me. You know, by the time you know it's on me, it's a bit too late. You know, you know, so that's that. That is that, man. Let's see. I want to talk also, man, about the entrepreneur word, right? Because I see young men, and old dudes, you know, hide behind this entrepreneur word. You know, everybody ain't entrepreneur. You know, everybody ain't entrepreneur. You know, some people are broke using that word because they know that women sometimes try to respect the fact when guys are trying to transition. You understand me? So you got a lot of broke dudes that's, man, well, my woman don't understand entrepreneurs. See, because I've started a situation where as I'm growing, I'm now getting people to reach out to me about advice. Hey, man, give me some advice on this loan, man, if you don't mind. Man, can you talk to me about this, man? You know, you're giving real game, man. And one dude that told me said, man, my old lady really don't understand entrepreneurs. And I said, well, what are you saying? Help me understand what you're saying. What don't she understand? And it always is a finance situation. Well, I said, well, bro, I don't think you can say she don't understand entrepreneurs. I think she just tired of paying all the bill. You see what I'm saying? Had you been a, now see, at some point you got to work harder than you would like to. Your entrepreneurial situation can move from a hobby into a essential at some point. But if you got bills and kids and you old enough to where now you live in a lifestyle where your woman needs help with things, you can't have your entrepreneur hat on if it ain't making no money for you. And expect her to lay down next to you and say, well, see, you don't get it. You just don't get it. That works out for some people, but the mass majority of individuals need to be more realistic in their with their circumstances. You see what I'm saying? And what you got to understand is just because you slap entrepreneur on your name, man, that don't mean nothing. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, these women, they don't understand entrepreneurs. Now, what does that mean? Well, when I, you know, talk to a loon and I get with her about how I need, you know, to go 2 or 3 months without, you know, making any money. And since you can stop right there. Going 3 months without making any money doesn't sound like an entrepreneur to me. You see what I'm saying? And let's say you are building some sort of brand or business, which should take time. I'm doing it. I understand it, right? But you can't ignore everything that's priority and then expect a woman to understand that. You see what I'm saying? When she can't ignore nothing, 9 times out of 10, she got the kids and she got to work. So she may got to jump up at 5, get the kids to school, then drive to work, then get off, make arrangements for them to go here for an hour. So you got to understand what you're dealing with. A lot of times you're dealing with a woman that's making the most out of the least. You see what I'm saying? So she's saying, well, damn, man, all this I'm doing with this little bit I got, and then you telling me that you get up every day, do this same thing, and ain't nothing coming in. Well, no, it ain't that. You know, I got to move the money over here. And blah, blah, blah. I just think, man, you can't hide behind an entrepreneur word, man. You got to be about your business. This has been another episode of It's Up There Podcast. If you are listening to this point, I appreciate you. Hey, man, go and buy some of the merch. The link is in the bio. We come in every week. Go download the Dead Ball Deluxe album. It's out right now. Videos on Worldstar. Go to FOGFOTV on YouTube. Get that new look at new interviews, old interviews you haven't seen, old podcasts you haven't seen. Just getting some game from Loon or giving some game to Loon, whichever one. It's a beautiful thing. So I appreciate everybody for tuning in, man. The biggest out. Appreciate you.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.